believe in all 10 commandments. So if they believe in all the commandments of the Quran,
no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation,
grant letters of mark or reprisal,
coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, good morning. I'm Dr. Stan, and our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and we talked about the world of Joel Skousen's analysis of what's really going on in the world today. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Good to have you with us, and why don't you pick up and tell us the story, what's going on in the world?
Sure, you bet. Well, this week in the World Affairs Brief, we wanted to step back and take a look at Rand Paul's foreign policy message. Recently, Senator Rand Paul gave a major foreign policy speech at the Heritage Foundation. As the foremost Tea Party candidate for president and presumed heir to the Ron Paul legacy, it was much anticipated by both friends and foes of the libertarian movement within Republican circles. For those of us that have come to value Ron Paul's incorruptible, uncompromising constitutional positions on Capitol Hill, Rand's speech was a little disappointing. It clearly showed signs of trying to carve out a position between the non-interventionist policies of the libertarian right, represented by his father, and the neoconservative right, which has secret globalist agenda, even if most conservative supporters of a military intervention are ignorant of this agenda. A detailed discussion of his positions will give us a chance to clarify a broad range of foreign policy issues, past and present. So let's begin with a review from Business Insider about the speech. They said, quote, "In a highly anticipated speech at the Heritage Foundation Wednesday, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul laid out a vision for a, quote-unquote, middle path in U.S. foreign policy, calling for more moderation and restraint in the use of military force. The speech, which was billed as Paul's foreign policy coming out party, was the Kentucky Libertarians, Joel says sometimes, latest attempt to bridge the divide with foreign policy hawks. Coming on the heels of his recent trip to Israel and his tongue-lashing of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton during her Senate hearing on Benghazi last month, Joel notes, but he failed to probe and critique her about the stand-down order to not come to the rescue of the ambassador. In his remarks, Paul continued his attempt at rapprochement, Joel says, to the Republican mainstream, framing libertarian ideas of non-isolationism within the context of hawkish rhetoric about the looming threat of radical Islam. Joel says, trying to please both sides and pleasing none. But he stopped short of offering specific foreign policy proposals. Joel says, typical of people running for president, to avoid specific criticism. Instead, focusing on reinstating the process by which Congress can restrain executive foreign policy action. Joel says, very necessary. Speaking of congressional restraint strategies that haven't worked, Paul said, some well-meaning senators came up to me and said, Congress has the power of the purse strings and can simply cut off thumbs. The problem is that there is occasionally a will to avoid war in the beginning, but rarely, if ever, is there the resolve to cut off funding once troops are in the field. No historic example exists of Congress cutting off funds to a war in progress. Even during Vietnam, argue arguably our most unpopular war, funds were never voted down, end quote. He's right. Once a war starts, just like in Iraq, any more efforts to cut off funds are labeled as not supporting the troops. Ironically, the media pushed hard to make sure Congress voted down military aid to anti-communist allies in the Far East like Vietnam, but government and the media are all in when it comes to globalist wars of intervention. Go figure. Relative to the threat of Islam, Paul argues that containment is a viable and perhaps the most effective strategy for dealing with the threat of radical Islam. His speech frequently alluded to George Kennan, the father of the Cold War containment strategy, and called for a similar middle path for dealing with today's geopolitical threats, reported the Insider. Joel says, to me, this was the most problematic part of his speech, for it indicates that Rand has been completely taken in by the establishment, which preaches that containment worked on the Soviet threat and even led to the fall of communism in the Soviet bloc. This, of course, isn't true at all, as most readers of the brief will know. And Reagan actually didn't bring down the Soviet Union. It faked its own demise. Containment, as designed by the globalist advisors to several presidents, was a policy creation meant to provide cover for not confronting Soviet aggression and justify concessions in aid and trade that included key weapon systems like miniature ball bearing technology that allowed the Soviets to create MIRVed, meaning multiple independently targeting reentry vehicles, MIRVed warheads. The only reason containment appeared to work is that despite allowing the Soviets to steal slightly outdated technology, the Soviet command economy couldn't keep up with the West's rapid progress in high-tech weapons. Rather than give up their dreams of conquest, they decided on a grand sleight of hand to fake their own demise, send the Communist Party underground, and put their bankrupt satellite states on the Western dole. The result has worked masterfully, both in terms of increased capital investment from the West and technological transfers and direct aid to their military-industrial complex. As the quote-unquote fall was happening, I cataloged every move that was phony, and I can't help but feel that the media saw those things as well, and yet no one ever questioned the contradictions or the official story as it played out, Joel said. For those interested, I have listed some of the historical contradictions in my piece called Strategic Threats, which is available on worldaffairsbrief.com. The deception is still going on, including the elaborate political theater and presumed conflict between former communist leaders turned oligarchs like Boris Berezovsky and his protege Vladimir Putin, who now claim to be mutual enemies. President Putin is quickly allowing the Russian bear to rearm and come back to its former belligerent state with the West. Senator Paul continues, quote, containment, though, should be discussed as an option with regard to the more generalized threat from radical Islam. Radical Islam, like communism, is an ideology with far reach and will require a firm and patient opposition, end quote. Neocon Robert Kagan quickly realized that Rand Paul had fallen under the spell of Glenn Beck, who preaches that Islam is the primary threat, and is delighted about how conventional Paul has become. He said, quote, Paul sounds conventional. He sees the overriding threat to Americans as radical Islam, which he described as a relentless force of unlimited zeal, supported by radicalized nations such as Iran, and with which the United States is indeed at war, and will be for a long time. Unlike critics during the Cold War who argued that anti-communist paranoia produced a self-destructive foreign policy, Paul embraced the dominant paranoia of the post-9/11 era. He shares the average American's view that radical Islam is today what Soviet communism was during the World War, an ideology with worldwide reach that must, like communism, be met by counterforce at a series of constantly shifting worldwide points, end quote. Justin Raimundo responds by noting, quote, the absurdity of equating a few jihadists hiding in a cave somewhere with the nuclearized might of the former...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment with Andrew Scouse talking about the fallacies of foreign policy.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and he's going over the World Affairs Brief. And, of course, the point most people don't understand is that from the very inception, international communism was financed by the West. Why? Because we had to have an enemy so we could rally the people behind the government, and they would go along with having a massive military to protect them from the wicked communists who we were financing. Exactly the same thing is going on today with the war on terrorism. Who's funding the Al-Qaeda fighters who went into Algeria, and who funded the Algeria fighters that went into Egypt and are now fighting over there in Syria? Why, we are. But you see, it's so impossible for the American people to understand. We're financing the enemy, so we'll have an enemy so we can justify having the cameras on every corner, having everybody with a number, having the drones all watching everybody in America. Oh, they're pretending it's from the wicked terrorists. And who's funding the wicked terrorists? Why, we are. And when you understand that, it all begins to make sense. And that's exactly what, of course, Joel is pointing out. And unfortunately, Rand Paul is going right along with this whole idea that we really have this Muslim enemy out there. Yes, the Muslim faith is wrong, but most Muslims are certainly not involved in this. They just want to live their lives. But we are financing the radical terrorist leaders who are actually intimidating the Muslims and forcing them to go along with the agenda. The average American wants to live in peace. The average Muslim wants to live in peace. But the people who control America want this confrontation because it serves their purposes. Andrew, go right ahead.
That's right, Dr. Stan. And this is actually where Rand Paul goes astray. The Islamic threat is very different from the threat of communism. Even though communism has often given arms to Muslim nations, Islam is not the main threat. It's a minor one, compared to the communist threats of nuclear-armed Russia and China. The Muslim threat has been blown out of proportion by any number of ignorant conservatives like Glenn Beck and by globalists who appear to be on the right but who are really neoconservatives. Old-school socialists who decided to infiltrate the right and champion an imperialistic foreign policy. Globalist neoconservatism has been the prime mover behind the continual justification for the phony war on terror, where our continual bullying of smaller nations will finally provide Russia and China the excuse to attack the West to stop their intervention around the world. But all these neocon armchair analysts fail to see the one reason why Islam is not an ultimate threat to the West. No weapon system has ever been innovated by Islam other than the sword, and thus they are forever in the position of being used by others as either cannon fodder in war, as in World War I, or to promote the war on terror. Islam can't conquer the world without sophisticated weapons, and Islam doesn't have them in sufficient quantity to do what Russia or China can do. However, some of the Muslim weapon technology, including the first plans for a nuclear weapon, have been given to them by the Western sources or false flag sources like the Khan Network, controlled by the CIA and the Pakistani ISI. In point of fact, containment could have worked early on with Islam. Were it not for the fact that Islam has been armed and provoked to terror by the real enemy of liberty, the globalists running our own government and the governments of all other Western nations. Sure, Islam had a jihad agenda, but it is capable of nothing but small attacks unless given more power and entrance into our societies via emigration by the people who should be protecting us. And even then, the globalists don't intend to let them win anything, only to use them to give justification for globalist interventions. Globalists have pushed for open immigration of Muslims in Europe and even in America. They have done this on purpose in order to create conflict within our borders to justify further restrictions on our liberties. But even with that infiltration, the numbers of antagonistic Muslims within our borders is nowhere near enough to present a lethal threat. The real threat is our government's manipulation of the Muslims and the threats that they pose. So Rand Paul buys into these theories of the globalist planner behind the containment smokescreen George Kennan, and places him on a pedestal unworthy for anyone savvy about history. Sadly, even Ron Paul has been reluctant to school himself in the history of conspiratorial power in the U.S. out of fear of being labeled a believer in conspiracy, and thus his son remains equally as ignorant of this crucial topic. In the speech, Rand Paul plays up the benefits of the Cold War confrontation with the Soviet Union, repeatedly invoking George Kennan. Paul Pillar, one of the few former CIA analysts who is critical of the war on terror, agrees with my dad's view in this regard. Quote, "But this subject isn't anything like the challenge from the USSR and communism during the Cold War, and, quote-unquote, radical Islam really does involve a lot of paranoia on our part. There is nothing remotely comparable to a superpower armed with tens of thousands of nuclear weapons. There are no radical Islamist states or possible states that have any chance of challenging U.S. military power even locally, let alone globally. There is nothing that at all resembles the parallel political and military threats to Western Europe when it faced both Red Army divisions on the Elbe and communist parties that commanded many times more support and parliamentary seats than radical Islam could ever hope to achieve. There isn't even as much international and transnational connectivity and unity of purpose on the adversary side as there was during the Cold War. Confrontation against Soviet communism provided the requisite theme for more than four decades," Joel inserts, "but communism was and still is a formidable enemy, and our government has helped build it up from the beginning." Continuing with the Pillar quote, "In the decade after that, following the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, would-be George Kennan stumbled for some grand new all-defining theme," Joel inserts, "i.e. terror. Then along came 9/11, and instantly both the grand strategist and the public had a new theme that readily caught fire. Initially, that theme was defined as a quote-unquote war on terror. Then after enough people came to realize the silliness of postulating a war on a tactic, it elided into a war of sorts against what Americans saw as the face of terrorism, which was radical Islam." Rand Paul is showing his ignorance when he says that, quote, "George Kennan believed that containment succinctly described a strategy between the appeasement that had failed to prevent World War II and the alternative of a third world war," end quote. "A foreign policy that requires, as Kennan put it, a long-term, patient but firm and vigilant containment of expansive tendencies. A policy that understands the distinction between vital and peripheral interests." No one believes that Kennan was an isolationist, but Kennan did advise that non-interference in the internal affairs of another country was, after all, a long-standing principle of American diplomacy. End quote. Joel says, nonsense. Kennan was only spouting off about non-intervention as a means to keep us from interfering with Soviet aggression, as the Russians were stamping out counter-revolutions in Eastern Europe and expanding the communist empire around the world. Globalists like Kennan are without principles and will commandeer any ideology, even truth, when it suits them. If Kennan were alive today, he would be a champion of intervention, too. Paul further says that, quote, Kennan objected to the Truman Doctrine's implied obligation to act wherever Soviet aggression or intimidation occurred, without regard to whether American interests were at stake or the means existed with which to defend them. He was also concerned that the Truman Doctrine was a blank check to give economic and military aid to any area in the world, end quote. Joel comments, to give a military aid to counter communism by helping smaller nations help themselves. The globalists always object to the military aid to legitimate anti-communists, such as to Chiang Kai-shek, but have never objected to aid for the Soviet Union itself. Rand quotes Kennan, who said, quote, the strength of the Kremlin lies in the fact that it knows how to wait, but the strength of the Russian people lies in the fact that they know how to wait longer, end quote. Kennan knew they would wait us out, and they are still doing it. Paul further said in his speech, quote, non-interference should be the guiding principle of American foreign policy, except in cases where there is a sufficiently powerful national interest. Joel said, inserts, this is a terribly broad language that can be used to justify anything. Rand Paul continues, and when we have the means to successfully conduct the intervention and can afford the cost, Joel says, this latter criterion is key. Paul is routinely warning about the threat of the U.S. federal deficit, so it's not clear when or if he would ever believe the U.S. could afford an intervention. Paul Pillar adds this. The Kentucky Republican statement indeed represents a significant divergence from the foreign policy thinking that has come to dominate the political party to which he belongs. An interesting comparison, however, is provided by Robert Kagan's less sympathetic take on the speech. Kagan sees Paul's as hewing to more conventional views and breaking less specific new ground than Paul might want us to believe. Joel says, a relief for the establishment who is worried about Paul building on his father's anti-intervention movement. Kagan, a noted neocon, wrote that, quote, Rand Paul subscribes to the mantra of keeping all options on the table for dealing with Iran. A true dissenter would have the temerity to declare that a nuclear Iran, though unfortunate, is nevertheless intolerable, and that the military option ought not to be on the table. But that view, unfortunately, is still politically incorrect enough to endanger the electability of anyone who expresses it. Joel comments, leading the younger Paul to compromise for that very reason. Neocons, not sufficiently satisfied with Rand Paul's compromises, want him to answer 10 key questions, which we summarize here. Since the senator has not addressed them all, Joel says, I will, in order to show how a libertarian foreign policy would answer these neocons. The first question was, Egypt and Syria launched a surprise attack on Israel on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in Judaism. Backed by Russian arms, the Arab states initially put Israel on the defensive. Fearing a defeat of an American ally in the Middle East, Richard Nixon urgently sent arms to Israel to reinforce the Jewish state, helping ultimately to turn the tide. Do you believe that was an appropriate use of American power? Joel responds, on principle, no. The government cannot justify using everyone's tax monies, allocated for our own military defense, to support a foreign nation that doesn't involve a direct threat to our nation's security. That doesn't mean we can't generate private military support for a nation whose cause is just. The appropriate means is for the government to sponsor a voluntary fund so that pro-Israel citizens can contribute to the defense of Israel without violating the tax funds of those who don't support Israel. Second question. You, Senator Paul, keep saying that you oppose foreign aid because we can't afford it, but foreign aid is a minuscule portion of our budget. Joel responds, tens of billions of dollars is not minuscule. How do you start being responsible for spending beyond your means if you don't start cutting somewhere? Every special interest could make the case that, quote, my portion is minuscule compared to the whole. Question three. Should human rights considerations play any role at all in America's foreign policy decisions? If so, how? Joel responds, yes, they should play a big part. America should always be the champion of human rights properly defined, which does not include false rights to other people's wealth. And we should use economic and trade sanctions to apply pressure to the infringing government. Though individuals ought to be able to trade directly with persons in a bad nation so they aren't penalized for their country's policies. In addition, America's legal restrictions banning private military action against tyranny in other nations ought to be repealed. Private military action ought to be encouraged in defense of human rights, but not taxpayer funds when there is no direct threat to American taxpayers' fundamental rights. Next question, 4. What role does America have in a place like Mali, where jihadists linked to al-Qaeda are seeking to carve out a safe haven? Joel responds, none, unless there is a direct threat to us. And I don't accept 9/11 as an excuse that al-Qaeda is a direct threat to us, since those involved in running the hijackers, training them, and loading the explosives into the World Trade Center buildings were under the direct control of black operations within our own government. In like manner, as I covered in a prior World Affairs brief, our own government is responsible for initially arming the jihadists involved in the Mali rebellion. Question 5. You, Senator Paul, have said you support defense cuts. How significantly do you want to cut the defense budget? How would you reduce America's current role in accordance with such a reduced budget? Joel answers, I would estimate that a significant part of the defense budget is hidden compensation for black projects kept hidden from the public, most of which is probably not appropriate.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Seat of Justice.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen. Andrew, would you like to tell our listeners how they could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief and get your dad's books on strategic relocation and building a secure room? Go ahead.
Certainly, Dr. Stan. The best way is to log on to worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can find an easy way to sign up for an account and then make a payment by any credit card through PayPal for a yearly subscription or two-year subscription to the World Affairs Brief. They can also ask for a one-time free copy of the newsletter from Joel Skousen by sending an email to editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. They can also find links to descriptions of the books on worldaffairsbrief.com. The books are Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. There is also How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home, which involves how to a do-it-yourself project of converting a room in the home into a high security shelter from all kinds of threats. And there is also the largest work, the Secure Home, which involves how to construct a new house or remodel an existing house to incorporate all of the security and alternate electricity features that you could possibly ever want. All of those books are also available through Radio Liberty from you, Dr. Stan, right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. They're excellent books. They're among our bestsellers. And if you don't have them, I'd suggest you get them, you read them, and you begin preparing for the very difficult times that are coming. And whether it's coming in weeks, months, years, I don't know, but difficult times are coming. Because when a nation turns against God, God eventually turns against that nation. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. We are working through sort of an interesting part of the brief. These are foreign policy questions that were posed to Senator Paul from a neoconservative newspaper. And Joel is taking the opportunity to respond to them since Senator Paul hasn't or can't for whatever reason. And so it's an interesting way to bring about a true libertarian take on what are the appropriate responses for our foreign policy. For instance, the most recent question, question 5, said this: you, Senator Paul, have said you support defense cuts. How significantly do you want to cut the defense budget? How would you reduce America's current role in accordance with such a reduced budget? Joel responds: I would estimate that a significant part of the defense budget is hidden compensation for black projects, which are hidden from the public, most of which is probably not appropriate. That's what charging $400 for a hammer was all about. It was hiding how money was being funneled. It wasn't just contractors ripping off the taxpayers. Second, I would stop all funding for wars of intervention that did not strictly meet the direct Defense of America standard. But I would fully fund preparations for a major nuclear war with Russia and China by funding a vigorous anti-ballistic missile system with explosive warheads instead of the idiotic non-explosive missiles we now have, which must make a direct hit to be effective. Question 6. Do you think American support of Britain under Lend-Lease before entry into World War II was appropriate? Or do you think America should have remained neutral? Joel answers: lending is fine, but direct aid should have been funded only by voluntary means. But any question about past wars are loaded in favor of knee-jerk patriotic feelings and mask the evil that happened even on our side. With a more complete view of history, World War II did not necessarily need to happen at all. Were it not for globalists in the U.S. and Britain funding Hitler, permitting his early aggression, and inducing Japan to attack Pearl Harbor. The war was made worse by Churchill's deliberate bombing of German civilians early in the war in order to provoke Hitler into striking London. See Churchill's War by David Irving. That, in turn, justified the Allies into firebombing German civilians in Dresden and other cities. Hitler wasn't the only monster in that war, nor the only one guilty of crimes against humanity. Question 7. In what circumstance would you imagine authorizing a military strike to set back Iran's nuclear program? Joel says, this is a loaded question, which fails to tell about the West's responsibility for giving nuclear technology to Iran, just as it did to Russia during World War II Lend-Lease. And now we have the right to bomb what we induced? We do, but only if Iran is a direct threat to us, which it is not currently. If it could be proven to be a threat to another neighboring country who is at risk of attack, only they would be justified in taking it out preemptively. But who can trust what either Israel or the U.S. says nowadays relative to intelligence? They make up or obscure facts all the time to provoke more war. For example, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, Pearl Harbor, 9/11, etc. Question 8. The U.S. has hundreds of military bases around the world. Should we significantly reduce our overseas presence? What do you think of America's heavy presence in South Korea on the border with North Korea? Joel says, yes, we should bring all the troops home and convert current bases into joint contingency bases operated by our allies so that they could be used again should the need arise in a world war. As to Korea, our globalist leaders are responsible for stopping the war once the North Koreans and Chinese communists were in retreat and thus created the current threat problem. I say allow South Korea to arm themselves with tactical nuclear weapons so they can deter any North Korean attack and then withdraw all U.S. troops. Question 9. Where do you stand on America's use of drones? Do you think it is appropriate for us to violate a country's sovereignty in order to take out those we believe pose us harm, like we regularly do in Pakistan? Joel answers, no. Even if we had that country's permission to use drone attacks, the civilian casualty rate is way too high. Drone weapons are too lethal to target individuals without putting tens of civilians at risk. Question 10. What do we owe our allies? What do they owe us? Joel answers, treaties binding us to defend other nations are never appropriate, since that, by extension, requires each of our citizens to defend another nation, which is not part of this Constitution, nor which agrees to our system of individual rights. Defense of other nations has to be done by sympathetic volunteers, not by forcing all taxpayers to participate. Well, that sums up that story. The next one is probably equally as important, if not more so, because it affects us here at home. It's about the gun control update. Brandon Turbeville starts out with an article posted on Activist Post saying that many of the sheriffs who claimed they would stop federal officials from enforcing a gun ban cannot be counted on.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
What? Good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home? And I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or case of water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline high pH Kangen water. And so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
Passover is coming on Saturday, March the 23rd, and you're invited to celebrate Yeshua's Passover with the Beth Messiah Congregation. Again, Passover is March 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza Hotel. Call 1-800-205-6245 for reservations. Deadline is March the 8th. Main entrees are lamb and turkey. Adults are $35. Children 10 to 12 are $15. Children 6 to 9 are $13. Children 5 and under are free. Call today 1-800-205-6245 for your Passover reservations.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan, back to the last segment this morning. Andrew, go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. So this is about the gun control update. Brandon Turbeville, in an article posted on Activist Post, notes that many of the sheriffs who claim they would stop federal officials from enforcing a gun ban in their county cannot be counted on, he said. My case in point is Kershaw County Sheriff Jim Matthews in South Carolina. Sheriff Matthews once declared an activist to be a domestic extremist after the individual had merely liked an article on Facebook. Matthews also developed a program of round-the-clock checkpoints in Kershaw County, thus Matthews' conversion of Kershaw County into a virtual police state. This should have raised the suspicions as to the sincerity of many of the sheriffs who have attached their names to the will-not-enforce list regarding the latest attempts at eliminating the Second Amendment. The fact also remains that many of these public officials are merely cashing in on an exploitable situation to score political approval from their constituents, political approval for a stance they never intend to honor. Joel says, another disturbing facet of gun control are all the non-military agencies of government that have announced huge purchases of ammunition. Breitbart.com reports that, quote, federal non-military agencies have bought 2 billion rounds of ammunition in the last 10 months. The Obama administration says that federal law enforcement agents need the ammunition for, quote, mandatory quarterly firearms qualifications and other training sessions, end quote. Joel says that excuse is a whitewash. It's impossible and without precedent for agencies like the Social Security Administration to use that many bullets in, quote, unquote, training. I think they are trying to corner the market and drive up prices. Max Slavo explains that gun and ammunition manufacturers are maxed out. Quote, Obama is arguably the best gun salesman ever. Over 65 million guns have been purchased since the president took office in 2009. FBI background check statistics indicate that, over the last 12 months, Americans purchased a new gun every 1.5 seconds, a figure which suggests there is much more to the recent panic buying than the people just stocking up to go hunting or sports shooting, end quote. There's a guns and ammo industry report that indicates that every major gun and ammunition manufacturer in the country is running at 100% capacity, with many so far behind that they've stopped taking new orders altogether. Reloading supplies, powder, brass, primers, and bullets are also completely committed, with nothing left over for the civilian reloaders. Expect this situation to last at least 6 to 9 months. The administration is going to push every route possible to undermine gun rights, including going back to the UN for a gun treaty, as reported by The Hill. Quote, President Obama is coming under renewed pressure, Joel says no pressure needed, to back a worldwide arms trade at the United Nations after backing off ahead of last year's election. Human rights groups are demanding that the United States take the lead in creating international standards for cross-border weapons sales when the UN starts a second round of talks March 18th. Last year's talks came to a screeching halt after the Obama administration asked for more time following intense lobbying from the domestic gun lobby. Gun Owners of America, the only major gun lobby I trust, Joel says, to not compromise, reported that the Judiciary Committee bill will probably not contain the Feinstein semi-auto gun ban. Joel says, I'm not as optimistic. And it may or may not have a magazine ban, which would render most of the nation's guns unusable, at least for the foreseeable future. But the Judiciary Committee bill will almost certainly ban all private sales of firearms without permission from the FBI. And it's this background check requirement that will inevitably set up a framework for a universal gun registry. Joel says, agreed. But I think the powers that be will get enough Democrats to commit political suicide by voting for an assault weapons ban, even though it was clear no assault weapon was used at the Sandy Hook shooting. Gun owners continues. The Lee bill will most certainly have a gun trafficking section that is based on other legislation that he's already introduced. This would turn everyone who lives under repressive state gun laws into a federal prohibited person as well. Hence, if your state requires a license to possess a gun, you would also become a federal prohibited person. Oh, and the Lee bill would also send you to prison for 20 years for unknowingly selling a firearm to a marijuana user. Anyway, here's Harry Reid's strategy. He has at least 11 Democratic senators running for re-election in pro-gun states in 2014, and they don't want to seem anti-gun. All of these Democrats will vote for the National Gun Registry and gun licensure. And in exchange, Reid will allow them to vote against the Feinstein gun ban, which will be the sacrificial lamb to the more important gun control which Democrats really want. But aside from the fact that the Democratic, quote-unquote, non-controversial gun control bill is in many ways worse than the controversial bills, there are two additional problems. First, if gun control gets to the Senate floor, all bets are off. There are dozens of horrific gun control proposals that could easily be added on the floor. For example, a Lautenberg Amendment, supposedly intended to combat terrorism, would allow Obama to ban guns for every gun activist in America just by putting their names on a secret watch list. Second, if gun control makes it to a House-Senate conference committee, all bets are off. The conference could report a bill which contains a Feinstein Amendment, even though neither the House nor the Senate voted for that language. The conference report is unamendable. And under the recent anti-gun changes in the Senate rules, there is no way to keep a Senate-passed bill out of the hands of an anti-gun conference. End of the Gun Owners of America quote. So the next story is Border Patrol claims a constitution-free zone. 2006, the U.S. Border Patrol started claiming jurisdiction to search any person, his vehicle, and possessions without a warrant anywhere within 100 miles of any foreign border or U.S. coastline. All this was based, of course, on fighting the so-called phony war on terror. Well, the ACLU says that the government is assuming extraordinary powers to stop and search individuals within this zone. This is not just about the border. This, quote-unquote, constitution-free zone includes most of the nation's largest metropolitan areas, end quote. Joel says, strangely, the ACLU has not filed suit against the government, only to, quote, urge you to call on Congress to hold hearings on and pass legislation to end these egregious violations of American civil rights, end quote. U.S. Border Patrol agents continue to exhibit aggressive attitudes with people coming across the border from Canada, especially any who dare to question the appropriateness of intrusive questions not relevant to citizenship status. Sadly, the courts have not yet shown any willingness to rein in government when it claims new powers related to terrorism. Well, the brief also talks about more false information from the supposed Department of Homeland Security official who is leaking a lot to Doug Hagman. And there have been other odd claims in the news.
Andrew, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you again next week. And thank you so very much for being with us.
Fine, Dr. Andrew.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Cam here, and I think you have to understand that there is a timetable for everything. And there's a timetable when they're trying to get through gun confiscation or gun registration. Remember, if they register the gun, they can collect the guns. We're moving towards a dictatorship in America because the American people don't value freedom as long as we've got the television and entertainment and food stamps and the government's providing our health care. I mean, we've got between Medicare and Medicaid, we've got 100 million Americans currently receiving subsidized or free medical care, and we'll be having a lot more when the Obamacare comes in. This is the reality of where we are. The trouble is we can't afford it. The whole system is going to collapse, and they're doing this intentionally so they can have a dictatorship. And this is certainly very well planned. There's a small group that controls both political parties and makes mockery out of the electoral process. And until people understand that, nothing going on makes sense today. And, of course, behind what's going on are the powerful spiritual forces that are directing us towards a world climax in history. And how it's all going to come out, I don't know. But lots of exciting things are happening now. The Middle East is on the verge of war. We never talk about the 70,000 civilians, 70,000 innocent civilians who've been slaughtered in Syria, largely by the Al-Qaeda terrorists that we're financing. 2 million people in Syria have been driven from their homes. Another 600,000 or 700,000 are living in concentration camps or refugee camps in Syria and in Lebanon. And that whole area now, of course, Syria has the third largest supply of chemical weapons anywhere in the world. And Israel is going to have to intervene to keep the terrorists from doing that, from getting them. Either that or America will intervene, and perhaps both will intervene in the war in Syria. And we're talking about within the next couple of months. And this could precipitate all sorts of problems. Why don't we talk about that? Why we've got so many other important things to talk about, like this tragic situation in South Africa. They focus our attention on the Blade Runner who shot his mistress or his girlfriend. And then, of course, we have Lady Gaga going in for surgery here in the United States and all sorts of really important issues. No, ladies and gentlemen, they focus our attention on unimportant issues, not about the fact that certainly, we are going behind $1 trillion a year. We're living on debt. The government is having to borrow almost $100 billion every month just to pay its bills, and nothing is going to change. And when certainly people suggested maybe we ought to start down, well, the sequestration cut back on some government expenditures. And what has happened? Well, the government says he's going to lay off 800,000 people in the Pentagon. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that we're going to have to just take the guards off the border? We're going to have to stop all of our government programs because we're going to cut 2.5% from government spending? Ladies and gentlemen, you're being manipulated. All of this is simply manipulation to control you and say, well, gee, we can't cut government spending. Why do they want the massive government spending? Because they want to bankrupt our nation. We are under attack from within. They want to take away our weapons because they know there's going to be
chaos in America, and you must understand behind this are the powerful spirits and forces we write about. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you can afford a case of them, get them at a reduced cost. And then pray for America, but pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, our provision of protection. So much. May the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.